And God is omniscient. And God is omnipresent. And if you don't believe this, if you don't know this to be true, then you're going to have to quickly get up to speed. His ways are higher than our ways. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Sometimes this scripture gets misinterpreted, gets misunderstood, but what we have to understand is that once God has placed His hand of providence on our lives, He will never take it back. He can't. And He won't. Once He puts that call and that gift on your life, He cannot. He's not an Indian giver. Come hell or high water, regardless of where you go, what you do, you can never outrun His reach. You can never outpace His hand. You can never get out of the shadow of the Almighty. He put that gift and that calling there, and He will not take it back. He won't change. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, His own Son, who went to the cross, who endured the pain, the punishment, and the shame, endured many things. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I want to talk to us today about our purpose. If I can title it very simply this, it's not how I had it planned. It's not at all how I had it planned. But thank God for purpose. Hallelujah. Pastor, will you pray? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give them one more hand clap of praise, church. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated in Jesus' name. We read in the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting at verse 1, begins to talk about through verses 17, life in the Spirit. We read in verse 3, verse 9, and on down, it talks about how God sends His only Son because that's the only way for us to be redeemed to a holy God. Is it took Him sending His Son wrapped in flesh to walk amongst us, to experience the same pain, the same struggles, the same challenges, the same tribulations. Hallelujah. So that somehow we could identify with Him and He with us. He reminds us that we cannot be carnally minded. To be carnally minded is enmity against God. It conflicts. It's a struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. And if you are fleshly minded, hey, the Spirit is not in you. And so you got to crucify the flesh daily. You've got to bring it under subjection. You cannot be caught up, consumed in the things of the world, or you will miss out on the things of God. Romans 8:18 through 27 begins to talk about our future glory, how there are sufferings that we must endure. There are things we're going to experience, heartaches and challenges, trials and tribulations. But just because we're saved doesn't mean we're pain-free. Somehow we get it mixed up in our brains that once we come to God, everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be a walk of leisure and luxury. But yet Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, wasn't even excused from the very same pain and suffering and heartache. Hallelujah. We read that there are groanings, the earth, all of creation groans. And yet the Spirit helps us. There are times in our walk where we experience things that hurt so bad, and yet we cannot even utter words to God to describe or convey the pain that we're feeling. And so it's so intense we don't have words. And so that is where, thank God, the Spirit makes intercession for us. My question is, when is the last time you prayed in the Spirit to such a degree that you couldn't even talk? Hallelujah, that the Spirit had to make groanings and intercession for you. Hallelujah. And then we read in Romans 8 and 28 through 39, the assurance of God, where if we do these things, we understand that we have purpose. Purpose. Can you put Romans 8:28 back up on the screen, please? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His reason that something was created. His reason for which something exists. His main intention or objective for your life. Purpose. Go on to the next scripture, please. It says, for whom He did foreknow. Foreknow meaning to be aware of an event or a person or a situation before it ever even happens. He knew from the beginning. Predestined. It says here, though, that He also did predestine, which means He designed or determined the outcome far in advance by divine will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go on to the next scripture, please. It says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. That means we were summoned by Almighty God. And it says, and whom He called, He also justified. Justified means that He declared and made you righteous in the sight of God. You couldn't do it on your own. You couldn't do it by yourself. It took a God and His infinite mercy and wisdom and grace to foreknow, to predestine, to call, to justify. And it says, them that He justified, He also glorified. It means to reveal or make clear the glory of God by your actions. Glorify means to describe or represent as admirable, even if it's undeserving. You are not deserving. I am not deserving. But somehow a God found us, picked us up out of the miry clay, set our feet on a rock to stay. He brought us to this point for His purpose. I am totally convinced today God has a purpose for the church. God has a purpose for every individual. I firmly believe today that what God cares about more than anything else is His purpose, His plan, and His process. He tells the prophet in Isaiah 14, as I have purposed, so shall it stand. He doesn't change on His purpose. His purpose is unwavering. He's not a fickle God. It does not change. He does not play when it comes to His purpose. You say, well, what is His purpose for the church? And I'm glad you asked. I believe Acts 1 and 8 is His purpose for the church. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The purpose of the church is to find God, get right with Him, and then go out, get somebody else, and bring him in. Hallelujah. Repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know the Scripture. Saints, people, making heaven. That's His ultimate purpose for the church. And for you to bring somebody else with you. Hallelujah. You see, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus commands His disciples. He gives them instruction. As you read on, these guys have questions. To which He replies and He tells them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Don't ask God why. Don't ask God when. Don't ask God how. Don't ask God who. But trust in Him always. Hallelujah. And while they're standing there, Jesus says, you don't need to know the times or the seasons. Just get ready. Get ready. He ascends up into heavens and you find that the disciples are still standing there. Two angels appear and you've got disciples standing around saying, what just happened? And they let Him know. The angels let the disciples know. They say, why are you standing here gazing? You just saw Him go up. Soon enough, He'll come back down. But I believe He gave you some instructions. You have work to do. There is a process to His purpose, to His plan. You need to get with it. And so then we find that the disciples have roughly 10 days to get their act together, to get in one accord, to get unified, to have the mind of Christ, to get in harmony, to get in unity. 10 days in prayer, 10 days in an upper room. Not looking around at each other saying, well, what do you think He meant? Well, here's what I think. You know, Well, you see what happened was, no, they come together. For a common purpose. They got to get unified. They got to get together because Acts chapter 2 is right on the way. And so Jesus commissioned the early church and the Great Commission still goes forth today. Get right, get ready, get somebody else. Scripture says, Scripture says, save yourself from this untoward generation. And then help somebody along the way. It's not at all how the disciples would have imagined it. It's not how they had it planned. They were looking for a king with horses and chariots and warriors and soldiers to overthrow governments and rule and dictators. But it's not how they had it planned. Not only does God have a purpose for the church, He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. I think one of the greatest questions we all suffer is, what is my purpose in this life? Or what is God's purpose for me? What is my role in the body? What is my role in the church? I believe Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says it very well, that whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You look around, there's plenty of things to do, stuff to be done, people to reach, cares to be resolved, situations to help with. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it doesn't still need to be done. Whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And so we look, Romans 8:28 and right on down begins to talk to us about, what does it mean for me to have purpose? What does it mean that God foreknew me? How am I supposed to believe that God determined my end from the beginning? But He did. He predestined me. He called me. He justified me. And He glorified me. I guarantee that every single one of us can look back on our lives up to this point, up to 2 o'clock on February 1, and say, it's not how I had it planned. I dare say there's not a single one of us who haven't faced challenges, experienced loss, suffered tragedy, fought hell. I didn't come with all the answers today. God has them. I am reminded in Psalms 37:23 that the steps of a good man, they're ordered by the Lord. Understand this, that God's purpose overrides our plan every time. And I've come to understand that there are times when God does not make sense. There are times when the only thing a preacher can do is tell you, trust and obey. Because Psalms 20 and 7 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I will trust in the Lord my God. It's not at all how I had it planned. I've read somewhere that if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. And this was true for me. Some of you know this. Some of you don't. I remember my dad and mom sat me down as I was going from 5th grade into 6th grade and said, if you want to go to college, you're going to have to bust your rear and do everything you can. We're a military family. We don't make a ton of money, right, Brother Kenny? And so if you want to go there, then you've got to do X, Y, Z, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. And so, okay, I did. And please, what I'm about to say is not braggadocious. If anything, embarrassing. I graduated in the top 10 of my class from high school. I got a full ride to Jacksonville University to the tune of about $70,000 a year. Everything was paid for. I didn't want for anything. I had it all mapped out. I had it all planned out. Literally, I had it written down. I'm a big believer in writing down your goals. If you don't, you'll never achieve them. They'll never get burnt into your brain. You wonder why you're not achieving is because you are fearful of putting it into words. So I had a plan. All through high school, I clerked for Judge Williams. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. In fact, I did get to do some of it. Got to work in an opportunity where I was a lawyer. I represented the state of Florida in what was at that time called teen court. It was a new program. If you were under the age of 18 and you committed a crime, you were judged by a jury of your peers. Teenagers you went to high school with, they're the ones who determined your fate. I simply gave them the options of what they could do to prosecute you. I clerked for Judge Williams. I participated in mock trial competitions, went to nationals, won best attorney. I spent, in two separate occasions, several weeks, month at a time, in Washington, D.C. I got to work with the Supreme Court in the United States Capitol. I got to work with the Supreme Court in the state of Florida. I clerked. I knew where I wanted to go, and I knew what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be. I was going to finish at Jacksonville University. I already had it lined up to go to the University of Florida to become a lawyer and get my law degree there. From there, I was going to work in private practice, hopefully make a name for myself, become a senator, go to D.C., try and be something, do something to help the state of Florida. I had it all mapped out. I had it all planned. But it didn't work out that way. So life happens. I made a decision. I listened to the voice of my pastor. I withdrew from school. If I had not, I wouldn't be here today. Did I get my degree? Eventually, yes. But it's not at all how I had it planned. I had a very strong, very good career with Verizon Wireless. I could have gone anywhere I wanted, could have done anything I wanted to do. When I left, they called me for up to 2 years to come back, but I didn't. Went into business for myself, my wife and I. Dropped $100,000 of our own money to start a business, only to be bankrupt by age 30. I know what it's like to almost lose your home. I know what it's like to have a vehicle backed up and yanked up by a wrecker, and for my babies to ask me, what are they doing with our car, Daddy? And I just cry because I don't have an answer. I know what it's like to be broke but not broken. I know what it's like to ask why and to wonder. I know what it's like to go through 2 years of hell, worrying and wondering if it will ever end. And so you struggle with why. My situation could be very, very similar, could be very different. But if I hadn't gone through that time, I would never know the value of what it means to exchange beauty for ashes. Because you've got to have some ashes to get any beauty. The garment of praise doesn't really fit right if you've never known the spirit of heaviness. You don't know what it means when the Bible says oil of joy for mourning if you've never been in mourning. You don't know the value of gain if you've never suffered loss. With God's purpose, there are two things that go hand in hand. Passion in pain. And you cannot have one without the other. The only way Jesus Christ endured the pain and suffering of the cross was because He had enough passion to endure it. God help us if we ever get to the point, as we're going through our situation, as we're enduring our circumstances, that we ever reach the point where we don't care. Because the minute you stop caring is the minute there is no value. No value in the process. No value in God's plan. No value in God's purpose for your life. There's danger there. And so in order for you to reach your purpose, you better have passion. Because you're going to have to endure the pain. I'm thankful today that God has a purpose. If you look back, it's the reason you weren't stillborn. It's the reason the gun didn't kill you. The car wreck didn't claim you. The drugs and alcohol didn't bury you. Because God has a purpose. When you would have committed suicide, God stopped it. Hallelujah. Because the blood reaches far, far, far much further than we ever could have imagined, hoped, or dreamed. When we should have been dead, it's the hand of God Almighty. When we wanted to end it all, there was a far-reaching hand of God Almighty that ripped us up. And we want to frustrate mercy and grace. But God will never stop reaching. And God will never stop running after you. The blood, for it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength. Strength to pursue the purpose. From day to day. On good days and on bad days. It will never, ever lose its power. Love Him for just a minute. In the name of Jesus, thank You, God. His purpose, it supersedes everything. Your wants, your desires, your ambitions, your struggles, your pain, your hurt. His purpose supersedes it all. Job, curse God and die! As he's using broken glass to get the welts and boils off of him. Children dead. Business gone. Curse him! I can't. Because I look, and in the front he's there. And behind me he's there. And to the left he's there. And to the right he's there. And above he's there. And below he's there. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Too often, when you're going through hell, you waste time and energy on things that detract. Things that take us away from our purpose. There are accusers. There are haters. There are liars. People that don't understand. People that are just plain idiotic, that have no clue. I'm not trying to be mean, rude, crude. But they don't know what you're going through because they ain't walked a mile in your shoes. They don't know where your head's at or where your heart's at because they hadn't been there. They don't know what it's like to suffer and endure what you're suffering through. But Jesus does. Who suffered like passions and hurts and pains and struggles. And the only thing we can do is go to Him, because oftentimes people don't understand because they're people. We're flesh. And it's hard to empathize with something you've never experienced. And it's hard to empathize when you never walked down that road. It's not how I had it planned, Brother Patrick. And it's easy for people to pass judgment on a divorce and say, well, I would have done it this way, or it takes two to tango, or this and that. People that don't understand what it's like to lose a baby. People that don't understand what it's like to lose a spouse. People that don't understand what it's like to lose a job. People that don't understand depression. People that don't understand a mind that's constantly being waged war on. People that don't understand what it means to have health issues and health problems. People that don't understand what it's like to have to pay child support. People that don't understand what it's like to have to be by a baby that's either going to live or die and you can't control it. Pastor, I'm so thankful for Brother Meyer being here and what he preached. Because I begin to look and study. We find Jesus in Luke 23. And Herod is there and he's asking him all kinds of questions. Accusing him falsely. Hating on him. Berating him. You can punch me in the face and it will hurt momentarily. But words you speak can never be forgotten. The pain of a bruised face will go away in time. But words you utter and say are forever burnt into my brain, and I can never unhear what you said. And Brother Meyer said it so well. That we want to stand up for ourselves, and we want to have our day in court to answer our accusers. But Jesus, it says, answered him not a word. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. All Jesus saw was the cross, and all Jesus saw was a world that would die and go to hell if not for Him. And so it's hard sometimes, Romans 8 and 28, to remember that all things work together for the good of those who love Him. To Him who are the called. According to His purpose. 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 Here's the crazy thing about purpose. There's always going to be somebody, something, some devil fighting you. Ezra reminds us, chapter 4, 4 and 5. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days. If you're being frustrated, thank God, because you have a purpose. If hell's not fighting you, you might need to find your purpose. So life happens. The enemy will fight you, remind you, antagonize you, bait you, goad you, all of these things. But don't forget your purpose. Yes, it's a fight. And yes, it's a struggle. But we glory in tribulation. And we praise God always. You know why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And all who rise up against me are going to fall. You know, if we look back, Brother Slaughter, the devil should have killed us when he had a chance to. The devil should have taken us out when he had a chance to. The devil should have got rid of us when he had the opportunity to. Because now we know, and now we understand, we are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. We have a purpose, and from the very beginning, He knew what my end would be. He foreknew, He predestined, He called, He justified. One day, He's going to glorify. I know God has a purpose for my life. Hell, you've come too late to tell me otherwise. Because what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Purpose. 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 I have a purpose. So therefore, who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No, I have a purpose. Shall distress? No, I have a purpose. Shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, I have a purpose. I'm persuaded that neither death, the loss of a loved one, nor life, the things we face every day, nor principalities, things that are beyond my control that I fight every day, nor powers, nor things present that are happening right now, nor things to come that are ahead in my future, nor height, things that I cannot reach, nor depth, places I do not want to go, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, I have a purpose. It's not at all how I had it planned. I'm going to wrap it up here in just a minute. I told Brother Patrick I didn't know if this would be fast or slow, and I still don't know. How you live indicates what you are. And once you know you have a purpose, a God-ordained purpose, you can never live the same. I believe one of the greatest obstacles to achieving purpose is fatigue. The Apostle Paul recognized this. He recognized that fatigue and discouragement would cause Christians to give up and throw in the towel. Because in Galatians 6 and 9, he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I know you're tired, and I know you're hurting, and I know you're struggling, and I know you're grasping, but don't stop, but don't throw in the towel. Don't quit now. I got one more illustration, then I want to say this first, though. Not only will fatigue prevent you from getting purpose, so will procrastination. So will procrastination. Your excuse is, I work better under pressure. Your truth is, you don't want to do it now. People who procrastinate fear the inevitable. They're not disciplined enough to do it when they should, so they wait until they have to do it or they die. Fatigue will get you, or procrastination will get you. People walk dangerous paths when they say, I can come to God at any time. People walk dangerous paths when they say God will always be there. The death of a good sister last night tells us we don't know when, we don't know how. All we know is that when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first, you better be ready. The old song says, there's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. I wish we all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. John 4:35 says, say not ye that there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. What are you saying? Now's the time. The best time is now. The fields are white. Yeah, we can talk about, oh, how this relates to soul winning. I'm telling you, don't procrastinate. There is no better time than now. There is no better time than the present. There's no better time than here today. For you to meet purpose. There's no time to wait around. There's no time to get distracted. It's only time to focus on what is, not what isn't. Not what was, what is. And get right in the middle of His will. One quick lesson from the Bible, and then I'm going to be done. We all know the story of Ruth and Naomi. And when we read the good book, we find that by no fault of their own, Ruth and Naomi are widows. Widows. It's hard, really, to understand Naomi's situation. She's lost her husband. She's lost her sons. She left because of a famine. And now she's got to go back. She's experienced death and heartache. Betrayal of a daughter-in-law. So here's Ruth and Naomi. Naomi's in a bitter state. There's no other way to say it. She's bitter. Frustrated. Upset. We left just trying to find some food. and now I've come home a widow with no sons, still no food, and a daughter-in-law who won't leave me alone. I don't think Naomi realized that, at least initially, that Ruth was there because Ruth needed a mentor. She was the mentor. Naomi got trapped. Unfortunately, she's got to go back. And so, no children, no sons, no husband. She's defining herself by who she used to be. And it's always tough to go back to what you once were and be who you once were when life has happened and you're not that person anymore. The struggle we have sometimes, we experience bad things. And then in trying to replace whatever situation we've come through, we get trapped trying to live out past glories in this present time. Forgetting that time has changed and there are wounds and things that have come about. We define success by being who we once were, rather than validating who we are now and the point that God's brought us to. We look in the rearview mirror at what was once. We look at what's behind us. And I believe God wants us to look ahead at what is, what can, and what will be. God's saying, I've got so much in front of you. And yet, almost like a salt pillar, we're looking back at what was, and we can't move, and we can't go forward. And life goes on without us. And then regret sets in. And remorse. Heartache. We try living out past glories without ever finding out or discovering what the real beauty of our life is right now, where we are. You see, if you read the book of Ruth, you find that Naomi thought her life was over. But in reality, it was just beginning. That's the problem sometimes when you quit reading a book at the end of Act 1. And you never get to Act 2. Because Act 2 is amazing. And Act 2, that next part of your life, is full of amazing possibilities and purpose. There's a process for purpose. You read on, you find Ruth that she's in the fields and she's gleaning behind the reapers, picking up what they've dropped. What she doesn't realize is Boaz has seen her. And he's instructed his reapers to leave handfuls along the way. Let me tell you, pick up the handfuls as you're walking. These handfuls represent that you've stepped into your purpose. Yes, they might only be handfuls, but pick them up. See, here's the thing. Little handfuls of provision, help, blessings, they fall into our lives as a sign to let us know that we are on the right track. That we're headed in the right direction. We're on a path to purpose. Can I tell you, provision comes when you step into your purpose. For Ruth, her purpose was not being stuck in a life of picking up little handfuls of wheat and barley. Her purpose was one day she was going to own that field. You know the story. Boaz, the lineage of Jesus, the amazing awesomeness that is birthed out of this story. And so today, what I can say is this. If you're looking for purpose, you're not sure what to do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do what you're supposed to do in the sense of your responsibilities to you, to your family, to your church, and to your God. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Look for the small things to be thankful for and pick them up and appreciate it. Pick up the small provisions. And eventually, I believe, you will find God unleashed great provisions. I think God is telling us that every time I send you a blessing, snatch it. Every time I send you provision, snatch it up. Trust me. Don't procrastinate. Don't become weary in well-doing. Find your place, find your purpose, and in due season you will reap if you faint not. Can we stand? Romans chapter 8 for me is a beautiful chapter because it gives us not only instruction, but it gives us hope. Because it reminds us, yes, we're going to go through hell. We're going to face things, challenges, tribulations, trials. We're going to have to climb mountains. We're going to have to endure deep, dark valleys. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Purpose. Purpose. Once today, if we can gather around the front for a few minutes. Regardless of your situation, your circumstance, your problem, your peak, your valley, all things work together for the good because you have a purpose. And it's His purpose. And whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. And He called. And He justified. And He glorified. Can we...